Welcome to the New Author Podcast. This is episode number 5. I promise you guys that at some point in the next week or 2 weeks, I don't know how long it takes for them to produce it, but I'm going to place the order tomorrow, and I'm going to have actual intro music and segment music and voices and something that's going to make this podcast sound a little bit more professional. That'd probably be the only thing that sounds professional when I stutter and stumble through my topics, but for now, I'm going to have that at some point. I promise. Yeah, I'm putting that, you know what? I'm putting that out there as a promise. It's something that I'm feeling today. Okay, it's episode 5. It's Saturday, November 24th, 2018. It's about 10:35 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm currently working on editing book 1. Book 1 sits at 85,846 words. I added 401 words since last week. Books 2 and 3, the first drafts, are already done. They've been done for a while now. And currently, I'm working my way through a pretty challenging chapter 18. I'll get to that in a little while. Let's talk about last week's recap first. I did talk to you guys at the end of last week's podcast where I basically said, if I don't write or do something to further my writing career every day, then I want you to email me and call me names. You'll be happy to know that you do not get to email me. I mean, you still can if you want. I mean, like I said last week, I need to get used to bad reviews. So if you just want to call me stupid or fat or ugly, well, yeah, feel free. It's no big deal. I can take it. Just be nice, please. So I worked, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday were normal days. I worked like I normally do. I worked from home Tuesday, but I still did my hour and a half lunch, which was nice. Thursday was Thanksgiving Day. I worked on my book a little bit in the morning before I went over to my parents for dinner. But I did take my laptop with me, and actually I didn't work on my book at all, but I worked on my website, and I feel like the website is a lot cleaner than it was. I'm really happy with what I did with it, where now I've got like the pages for the podcast. I have an about and a contact page that don't have any content yet, but they're cleaned up. Everything looks nice. I'm happy with my homepage now. I kind of went in to the, you know, I use WordPress. I use that Gutenberg. I'm using that now. And I kind of figured out how to get in and actually type out the HTML, which, you know, like, I'm a web guy. I've been doing it for a long time. So I prefer to do that than try to deal with their, add a block, and then you add this and you add that. I'd rather just give me the HTML and let me type it. I can do that a lot quicker. I also have a books page that I created. Originally, I was going to create like 9 slots or 10 or 12 or however many slots I needed that were going to be, let's say, like a 3-column grid where the first 3 would be like, here are the short stories with like a picture that said cover coming soon. Something like that. But instead, because I don't really have anything yet, I decided just to create a page where, you know, I try to be funny, have a little fun with it. But I want people to, if they click on my site, they don't necessarily sign up for the mailing list at first. Maybe they go to the books page. And I tried to put something on there that would try to entice them into signing up for the mailing list. So I've got that on both pages now. And then I created a release page. This page is not going to be linked across the top of the website. I'm not going to actually let people that go to the website, you know, potential readers, see that page. That page is more for what I talked about last week with my release strategy, with the rapid release I'm trying to do. So if you go to jerryevanoff.com/release, you can see it. I put kind of a tentative plan on there now of just the book releases themselves with some fake dates. And when I say fake, I mean, those are some estimates right now, but if I can figure out how to do this faster, I'm definitely going to do it before, I think I have February 1st, 2020 on there is the date to release my first short story. But I would love to do it at some point a year from now. The problem is it's taken me so long to edit book 1. I feel like it's going to take me just as long to edit book 2 and edit book 3. I hope not. I hope I can get better at this as I go, but I have that fear. So again, if you go to jerryevanoff.com/release, you can see the release plan that I'm putting together. And you can bookmark it if you want, because anytime I make any change or do anything that has to do with my release, update dates, add courses in that I take, add in other things that I do, YouTube videos that I watch, podcasts, specific podcast episodes that I listen to, like that creative podcast episode I talked about last week. I'm going to link to all of that. So it's going to become a really long page that's going to kind of map out everything I do to get through this release. So like I said, go back to it over and over again. To be fair, there probably won't be many changes, you know, in the near future because I'm just working on book one. But who knows? I might sit down and write one of those short stories at some point in the next couple weeks or next couple months just to get it written. I'm pretty sure I can knock out a short story pretty quick. I actually wrote a 2,000-word short story earlier this year for a library contest here in town, and I actually won the contest. It's the first thing that I've ever written and, like, submitted, and I actually won the contest, and that was pretty cool. That made me very happy. So that was Thursday. I basically spent the whole day doing it, too. I was, you know, watching football with my dad. I had my laptop in front of me. I worked on it kind of on and off until about 3, 3:30 when we ate dinner. And then after dinner, I brought it back out, back into the living room and worked on it a little bit more. And then when I got home that night, I worked on it a little bit more. And I'm seriously, the way that I've always created web pages in my professional career as a web developer, it's all the same. I write the web page. I write the code behind it. I run it. I'm happy with it. I send it, I test it with the person that needs it, the person I'm writing it for. And then at some point in the future, not too long, I will actually go back into that page and I will clean it up. Like I will make it so that everything looks like it's supposed to look. You'd think I would do that the first time, but it's always such a time crunch to get it out that as long as it's got functionality and it doesn't look horrible, I'll send it out there for people. And then I'll go in and fix it later. Well, that's what I did here. I did this web page, you know, months and months ago just to get something up there so that people could sign up for a mailing list. And then I finally went in this week and I made it really nice. I'm really happy about that. And it's plain, don't get me wrong. But I think plain is okay in this case. So that was Thursday. Black Friday came along. Me and one of my buddies go shopping every year on Black Friday. He came over about 10 o'clock. And we shopped for about 4 hours. I really didn't buy anything other than a couple things for myself, which is what I do. Him and I, we usually grab a tag off one of those trees where you buy for a kid, and we'll split a bunch of presents for a kid and drop that off. We do that every year. And that was about it. I mean, we went to lunch, and then I came home. And then there was a dilemma. So I know what I told you guys last week. I told you guys I was going to write every day. But I love golf. I love Tiger Woods, and I'm a Phil Mickelson fan. And whenever Tiger Woods is golfing well, I like to watch him golf. And they had their pay-per-view special where they played each other, and the winner won like $9 million. And they had side bets. You know, they were mic'd up throughout the whole thing, and they had side bets, and they were getting interviewed. It was a lot different than a normal golf tournament you'd watch on TV, where it's like everybody has to be quiet and you have to respect everything. Where in this case, nah, you have fun with it. I mean, obviously they were quiet while they were hitting, but other than that, you know, they talked to them during the as they were walking from their ball after they hit it, and it was a good time. And it started at 3 o'clock. I got home from shopping around 2, and I bought the pay-per-view. It was only $20. And I thought to myself, okay, I really want to watch this. But I told those people in that podcast that I was going to write today, and I haven't done anything yet. And I know that if I watch this at 3 o'clock and it's over at like 8:30, I'm not getting anything done. I know at 8:30 at night, I'm not doing anything. And I sat there. And I mean, I wish I could see like an animation of my brain fighting with my brain where – Yeah, I can do it. You know what? I'll just watch one hole. No, then I'll watch two. You know what? I'll write later. I know I'll do it. I'll get it done. I know. No, you won't. You won't get it done. I mean, it was just this battle inside my head to actually write, because I told you guys I would write, which is, to be honest with you, why I wanted to do this podcast in the first place, because I wanted to be accountable to someone. And chances are pretty good if I wasn't doing this podcast, I wouldn't have done what I did. So what I did was, at 3 o'clock, I made sure it was recording. I did watch the first hole. I wanted to see kind of what the format of the whole thing was. I wanted to see if it was going to be fun or not. And it was a blast to watch the first hole. If I remember correctly, Tiger bet Phil $200,000. Or as they put it, no, let's just bet $200,000 that he would birdie the first hole. And he missed a 5-foot putt. And he ended up owing Tiger $200,000. on that hole. There were more bets along. So then I turned it off. I grabbed my laptop and my books, the books I take with me, the Show Don't Tell, the Emotion Thesaurus, and the Urban Setting Thesaurus. And I grabbed those. I got in the car and I drove to a restaurant, a burrito place. I love burritos. And I grabbed my headphones and I sat for a good 2.5 hours and I finished kind of, it's weird to say, but it's like the fifth draft of chapter 18. It didn't have all the emotion and description I needed in it, but it was a total rewrite of that chapter from the way I wrote it about a year and a half ago. So I got all the way through it. I was so happy to get through it. I researched a few things I had to research while I was there. I mean, I really put in the work to get that chapter done. Then I came home. I got home about 8 o'clock, 8:30, and I turned it on. I stayed away from social media because I didn't want spoilers. Which is really hard for me. To not be on Twitter is one of the hardest things for me. I always describe Twitter, my relationship with Twitter is like my dog's relationship with the front window. He'll stand on the back of the couch and he will look out that window for hours and hours and hours just waiting for something to happen. And nothing ever does. But he just goes back to it every day and waits and waits. That's me with Twitter. Twitter is open for me 24/7. If I wake up in the middle of the night, I grab my phone and I check it. Between me and you, it's open at work. They don't need to know that. Hopefully, unless there's people from work listening to me, and then I'm just kidding. It's not. And right now in front of me, I've got two laptops, the one I'm recording on and the one that my notes are on for this podcast. I've got six windows open. One of them's Twitter. Two of them are sports related because I bet on a couple games tonight. But that's another story. That's another podcast, actually. And I shut everything off and I got that chapter done and I couldn't be happier. I came home and I turned off social media and I watched the entire golf tournament. It lasted about 5.5 hours. I went to bed at like 12:30, 4.5 hours. I went to bed at like 12:30 and it was so much fun. And I got to be honest with you, that's something in terms of time management that I need to learn to do. It's something that I've never been able to do before. And this time it was like, okay, if I do this, I'll do it until this time. I'll get home and I'll do this and it'll last until this time. And it actually paid off. Like, I couldn't be happier with the way yesterday went. So then I got up this morning and I went to Chick-fil-A like I almost always do on Saturdays. And I got there a little bit late. I sat there for about 3 hours though, and I went through chapter 18 and I started adding all that emotion and all that description that I really struggle with. I'm curious about the way that some of you guys write. Some of the people that are out there that write, and they're more established writers, I'm curious if they have to think about every word, every sentence, every paragraph they write as they're writing it, or is it to the point now where it's just coming out correct? I remember seeing that Dean Wesley Smith talk at the 20 Books thing a few weeks ago, and he talked about you know, his process is to, you know, what do you say, button share, write your draft, no edits, release it, something like that. He talked about the looping method that he does, which I actually find really interesting. I just don't know if I could do it. And I'm wondering if when he writes, is he able to, and I'm sure he is. I mean, he's been doing it for a long time. But I can't imagine being able to, like, write that paragraph and having the description and or the emotion in it that you need to have in it, that your finished product would have in it that first time. You know, that's just the thing that I kind of strive to get to, and it's the thing that is the hardest for me right now. So this morning I went through it, and I did about 80 to 85% of chapter 18 before I had to leave and come home, and I'm really happy. I actually, you know, I don't like the fact that chapter 18 has taken me every day this week. I mean, including a little bit on Thursday morning before I went to my parents for Thanksgiving. I worked on that chapter every day, and I'm still not done with it. I should get done with it tomorrow, but I'm still not done with it, and it sucks. Like, I really wish I could do that better. I really wish I could get faster at it, but keep in mind something about me. I took a creative writing class in the fourth grade. I'm pretty sure it was the fourth grade. I remember this. I had this memory of walking out of that classroom talking about the TV show Miami Vice with somebody. And that was when it had first come on the air, like early 80s. So I'm pretty sure it was in fourth grade. I haven't taken any writing class since then. Like, I've never taken a writing class since then. I hated English in school. I hated reading all the stupid things we had to read. So everything that I'm doing is brand new. Like, I'm probably learning stuff that they teach you in middle school now, or high school, wherever you can start taking writing classes. I don't even know when that is. So I understand that I'm not good at it right now, and I'm pretty sure I'll get better at it. It still sucks, though, when you're at the point where you're still learning it. I remember about 10 years ago, I bought a guitar, and I thought, I'm going to learn to play the guitar. I love the way it sounds. I hate the fact that none of the music nowadays has guitars in it anymore. I sound like a get-off-my-lawn old man right now, but that's okay. And I wanted to learn how to play it. So I signed up for lessons, and I took a bunch of lessons, and I was okay. I could read music anyway because I took piano lessons as a kid. So I understood what chords were, and I understood where the notes were and all that stuff. But, like, after, I don't know, a couple months of it, I thought, wow, God, how long do I have to practice before I start getting this stuff without thinking about it? And I basically just stopped. You know, it wasn't fun for me. The good thing about writing is it's fun for me. So even the hard part where I'm still learning how to do all this stuff, it's still fun for me. Yesterday, I'll give you an example. Yesterday, you know, my book is set in the city of Columbus, Ohio. And yesterday I was writing this scene where I needed one of my characters to roam through the sewers of Columbus. And I started thinking, well, what if there aren't, like, underground sewers where you can just walk through? Like, I'm remembering back to Ghostbusters 2, which is an excellent movie, I guess. I remember when I was a kid, my family and I, my mom, my dad, my sister and I, we went to a double feature, and I'm pretty sure it was, oh, you know what? It was Short Circuit 2, Caddyshack 2, not Ghostbusters 2. Anyway, I started Googling, like, sewer systems, and I found this webpage on TVTropes.com where they talked about how, like, in every TV show and movie, the sewer systems are way bigger than they are in real life, and they're easy to walk through, and people live down there and all this stuff. Well, I didn't want to do that if it was considered kind of tropey, if that's a word. So I started Googling Columbus and, you know, their city stuff, and I found, like, this little section of underground tunnels that had a really interesting story behind it, and I decided, oh, you know what, I'm going to use those. So I researched it, I found some web pages with pictures, and then I went ahead and I added that in. So, you know, to be able to do something like that last night, you know, that was one of the things that when I was done writing, when I left the burrito place last night, I was really happy. You know, I found this thing. It's pretty cool. I didn't know about it beforehand. And it just added, like, a level of character to my story, you know? And you know, I'm very happy. I'm really happy right where I'm at right now. I wish I was going quicker, but I'm really happy where I am right now. So then let's talk about tomorrow. You know what? I'll do that at the end of the podcast. So that was my week. So please don't email me. I did really well. I stuck to what I said I was going to do. I either wrote or worked on my, you know, my career. I did that every day. So I'm very happy about that. Okay, now, when I get those sounders, there's going to be something right here that says something to the effect of Mom's editing comment of the week. Something like that. For those of you that are new, I know I got some new listeners today. Thanks to Paul Teague. I'll get to that later. For those of you that are new, I just want to let you know that I don't actually have, like, a real editor that I'm paying. I have a mom. And I know everywhere you look, everything you read says, don't let your family or friends be the ones who critique you, because they're going to tell you how great you are, and they're going to love everything you do. Luckily, my mom doesn't do that. My mom, when I handed her my prologue earlier this year and said, can you go through this? It was only 400 or 500 words. She ripped it to shreds. I think she understood that, hey, if you want to sell this and you want this to be good, you have to do this right. And she used to edit back in the day, and she's edited short stories, newspaper articles, and she's an English major. You know, she understands all that stuff. So she's been really good about ripping me to shreds when I needed to be ripped, which is a lot, by the way, because I'm still learning how to do this. It's funny. She'll rip me to shreds, and then she'll apologize for it. And I'll say, no, don't apologize. This is what I need. In order for this book to be good, this is what I need. So let me give you an example of a comment she put on my chapter 17 page. This one isn't going to be one of those ones where she makes fun of me. This is actually going to be a kind of a grammar thing, and then I'll get into why I picked this one. So I typed a sentence where I wrote, each floor of the parking garage collapsed on the one below it. And she said, she highlighted the word collapsed, and she said, in this case, you should say had collapsed, since the destruction happened before Peter and Anna were transported there. The past perfect tense should be used here. Now, like I said earlier, one creative writing class in my life, I was 9 years old, and I hated English. Hated English. I can't tell you. I'm a math and computer guy. I like math. Hated English. Oh, God, some of that stuff we had to read. Oh, it was terrible. So over the months that my mom's been doing this for me, she's given me a list of words that she has told me, you know, you can't use these words. There are certain words you can't use. There's some filtering in there. There's some tell, don't show in there. There's this list of words she's given me. So I'm going to read through the list she's given me real quick here, and then I'll talk about them. So the list is like this. Up, down, over, towards, with an S on the end, because apparently I always write it with an S on the end. Got, had, the L-Y words, even, so, that, then, as if, as though, because of it, into it, which was, at me, from me, ing words, and unnecessary prepositional phrases. So that's this giant list of words. So when I finish a chapter, before I send it to her, I run through the chapter. I search for all those words, and I check to see, you know, do I need to get rid of this? Most of the time, the answer is yes, but there are some times I'm learning that the answer is no. So one of them is, the big ones are up and down. You know, she was always telling me, you know, you don't want to say she sat down, just say she sat, or she sat in the chair. She sat down. Everybody knows that when you sit down. So, you know, down and upper words. Over is another one. Towards. Apparently when I write toward, T-O-W-A-R-D, I put an S on it because when I talk, that's what I say. Apparently that's wrong. I had no idea. Backwards is another one. But I think I always wrote backward. For whatever reason, I put an S on toward. Got. I remember she highlighted one of my sentences a long time ago and wrote, you should never use the word got. You sound like a hillbilly. And I want to tell her, Mom, I'm part hillbilly. That's, you know, that's what I am. But, you know, she says, you know, you got to write it for a, I don't know the way she put it. You just can't use that word, which is fine. I understand. Had. Had is one that I've been really struggling with. Because I understand that you can use had in the, what'd she say there? The past, was it past perfect tense? Yeah, past perfect tense. But there are a lot of times I'll use had when I don't need to. Like it'll be just the regular past tense and I'll put had in there. So a lot of times whenever, you know, when I do a control F and then search for had, I have to take the word out, read the sentence, and make sure it still makes sense. I'm hoping that that's something that comes to me and becomes natural. Yeah. Other ones like that, and then I remember reading in a book once that you don't want to use then as if you were like giving directions. Like first he did this, then he did this. You don't really want to do that. I think that takes away from the show don't tell. I remember a big one was as me or from me or to me. We're all right. Something like, you know, she handed the machine to me. No, that's a bad example. And now I can't even think of one. Well, let's just say to me, from me. So a lot of times I can just cross those out without having to worry about using them. But it's weird because when I type those things. Another one, unnecessary prepositional phrase. I know what a prepositional phrase is. But if I'm typing sentence after sentence, I don't recognize them while I'm typing them. And I don't go, oh, I can't end the sentence there. Or I can't put that there. So that's another thing that I'm hoping that I just, it becomes a good habit as I'm writing. That's probably one of my biggest struggles right now, along with description and emotion, are those filter words. Those ones that are in there that should be in there. I remember watching a video, I think it was Vivian Reese on YouTube. I'm a subscriber to her YouTube channel, and she did a video, God, it's like a year and a half ago on, I think it was 27 words that you should eliminate. And it was all about filter words. I had never heard the term filter word before until I saw that video. And now, like, every time I see something that my editor crosses out, I understand, oh, that was a filter word. Man, why didn't I see it while I was typing it? So, you know, those are the things I'm trying to get used to. Okay, so that's the Mom's Editing Comment of the Week segment. Let's go to the news. Let's go to my news. And the sad thing is after 2 weeks of having like these big revelations, I don't really have any big time news this week. I do have a couple little things that are always running through my head. Let me give you the first one. The second one is kind of trivial, but let me give you the first one. This whole KU versus Wide thing, like, I'm not even sure if I need to think about it right now, but every day, it's like I hear, you know, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and every day on one of those podcasts, I hear people talking about Amazon, you know, they're kicking people off there for no reason. I guess the also bots are going away. Reviews are getting deleted. Just all these things are happening that make me think I really want to go Wide. It's a smart thing to go Wide. But then I think back to what Mark Dawson told me. I know I've said this before, but I think back to what Mark Dawson told me when I was at London 20 Books last year. He said, I walked up to him after his session and I said, listen, if you were a new author just starting out, knowing what you know about Wide and KU, what would you do? And he said, I would go KU. I wouldn't even think about it. I would learn one platform. You have 90 days. If you don't like it, you can get out and go Wide. And I thought right there, that's my decision. That guy just made my decision for it because he knows it. Why wouldn't I listen to him? But then at the 20 Book Show in Vegas, all you hear is how evil Amazon is and how KU is destroying whatever books off at the world. I don't know. It's destroying. Maybe I can use it in my book. That's why the world got destroyed. Interesting. But then if you look, and I think I heard a stat a couple of days ago that 97 of the top 100 books were in KU. So, like, it's just this thing where I go back and forth. I don't know what to do. If I put out my three short stories and put them out there for free, I can't put them in KU because I'm going to put them out there for free. I'm going to do giveaways, book funnel giveaways with them and whatever other giveaways I can give. I'm going to do those. So do I put my three short stories out there Wide and then only put the books in KU? I have no idea. This is something that's probably going to like be on in my head just for months and months and months until I'll probably make the decision just before I am ready to publish the first short story. I'll try to figure out what I'm going to do and just do it. I'm leaning 51-49 through to KU only because of what Mark Dawson said about if you don't like it, you can get out in 90 days. And I think that's what's causing me to say, go Wide with your short stories, not necessarily put them, you know, on all the sites, but instead, I mean, like offer them up on all these different places as a book funnel download. So any ad I can do, any giveaway I can do, any of those, you know, not BookBub, but BookBub type websites that I can do, you know, I might do it that way and then put everything into KU for 90 days, see how it goes. If I'm getting page reads, if I'm making money, then I'm going to keep it there until I feel like I need to switch. And then somebody said something at 20 Books of Vegas that interested me. You know, let's say you're in KU for 6 months. When you come out of KU, why not just do another release? Almost like a whole new, hey, here's a new release for everybody else, which actually seems interesting to me. Maybe by then book four will be ready and I can release boom, 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 1, 2, 3, 4 that way, Wide. That's definitely something to think about. Although I don't know if I'm going to think about it now. I'm still working on my book. I got 50 chapters to edit. I'm on chapter 18 right now. So it's, you know, it's taking me some time. The second thing that's running around my head right now, I feel like I talk fast. I'm going to try to go slower next week. I feel like there's a lot of rambling going on. That's one of the reasons I want those sound bites is because I think it'll break up just my constant voice for 25, 30, 35 minutes, whatever it is. Anyway, so to keep rambling, the other thing that's been rolling around my head, this is a weird one. This is really a weird one. I see a lot of people on the Facebook talk about, on the 20 Books group, with like their, I have this writing notebook and I take notes in here and I write out things and I have my, you know, just my planners, you know, that kind of thing. I really like the idea of carrying around a notebook. Like, I want to do that. Like, I want to carry around a notebook that I get out every now and then, and I write things down as I think of them. Right now, I have an app on my phone that is like one of those notepad-type apps where I can just – it's like a post-it note almost, where I can just type whatever I want. I took notes on it at 20 Books. It went great. But I really like the idea of carrying a notebook. I don't know why. The problem is my handwriting is terrible. Like, it's really, really bad. I've tried to do it before. I've carried around – I have all three of the 20 Books notebooks that I got two in Vegas and one in London the last couple of years. And I keep one in my bag, and I try to use it every now and then, but I find myself starting to write and then hating my handwriting and having to get my phone out and just take notes on my phone. I saw a notebook, though. I saw a project planning book online today, actually, that might change my mind. If you go to plotyourwork.com, all three of those words all spelled out. It's not like plot your work. It's actually plotyourwork.com. There's a notebook there that helps you kind of plan your writing and your release. And I really think it's interesting. I'm going to look through this thing, and I might buy one. There's different levels you can buy, different number of inserts based on what you want that you can buy. And I'm going to check this out, and I may buy one of these just to see if it's something that I'll use. It's interesting. I don't know why. I almost feel like, you know, I'll see somebody, you know, at one of the shows or something like that, and they'll pull their notebook out, and they'll write something down, and I'll be like, I don't know. I don't know what it is about that. It looks cool. It's like smoke. No, it looks cool. Not really. That was a joke. So that's the next thing in my head. That's the other thing in my head that's been jumping around. All right. Let's see what we got here. Those are my news items. Oh, you know what? And let me just do a quick shout out to Paul Teague for mentioning me on his podcast today. And just let me answer the questions that he had about me on his podcast. No, we did not meet. I was at the 20 Books London show, but we did not meet. I did not start listening to your podcast until a couple of days after I got back, because while I was in London, I was talking with somebody sitting beside me, and I hate the fact that I can't remember his last name. His first name is Tim. He was very tall. Him and I were comparing podcasts, and he showed me your podcast, and that's where I first heard about you. And I love the idea of the diary or the journal podcast, where you're kind of tracking what you're doing. It's kind of what I wanted to do a while ago when I thought about starting this podcast. Was I just wanted to be able to tell people what I was doing every week. I thought that was kind of interesting. It was almost like a blog, but I don't really want to sit and type. I'd rather just talk for half an hour and throw it out there. So when he showed me your podcast and I started listening to it, it was a few days after I got back from London was the first time that I had listened to your podcast. No, we did not meet, but I'm sure I'll get back out there at some point. I really wanted to go to Edinburgh, but I just, with the whole debt repayment plan that I talked about last week, I just didn't want to put the money into it, even though it's an hour and a half from St. Andrews Golf Course. And I would have skipped a day just to go golf, you know, 18 holes or 9 holes or whatever I could do there. Just that would have been, that's like a dream. So, but one of those days I'll get back there, and I'll meet you. So that'll be good. You know, one of my favorite things about podcasts, and, you know, he has an interview podcast, and there's some of the other ones out there. Lindsay Baroker's Science Fiction and Fantasy Marketing Podcast is another one where when they have a guest on, one of the first things they ask him is how they got started in writing. And that's one of my favorite parts of podcasts. I love to hear how people got started. You know, it's fun to hear. You know, I've been doing it since I was a kid. I remember one person said it was a dare by my college roommate. You know, I just like hearing all these different stories. So that's really what attracted me to Paul's podcast, along with the journaling type podcast, was hearing his guest interviews. So everybody go listen to it. It's you can go to paulteague.com. I think you can go to selfpublishingjourneys.com. I think there's a dash in there, right? Let me see here. It's self-publishing-journeys with an s.com, and you can listen to it. So I think that's about it for me tonight. Let me talk about next week's schedule. I'm back to a regular work week since there's no holidays. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm going to write for an hour and a half at lunchtime. Thursday, I do yoga at lunch, so I probably won't do any writing. I'm going to try to I leave at 4, so I come home relatively early. So maybe when I get home, I'll try to do something. I really should try to do something, even if it's just looking at my website or studying one of the Udemy videos I bought, you know, something to further things instead of just sitting around like the slob that I can be sometimes. Friday, I'll work some extra hours Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So Friday, I'll leave at noon. I'll go somewhere and sit for a couple hours and write. And then Saturday morning, I'll do my usual, go to Chick-fil-A for a couple hours and write. So I should have a pretty productive week. My hope is that I finish up chapter 18, possibly tomorrow morning. We'll see. And then start on chapter 19 on Monday, along with whatever changes my editor gets me for 17 and 18 next week. I'll make those changes. I'm actually getting better. I mean, with chapter 17, she started working on it. And when I looked at how far she had gone a couple days ago, she made zero changes to page one. She said page one was great. So, and there were only like three or four changes to page two. So, you know, we're getting better. I can tell I'm getting better. So, all right. So if you have questions or comments, you can email me, jerry@jerryevanoff.com. You can go to my website, which is jerryevanoff.com. That's jerryevanoff.com. I created that release page. So remember, you can go to jerryevanoff.com/release and you can see my release plan. I will update that as I go. And let's see. The last thing. Oh, I you know what? I didn't think of this until Paul had mentioned it to me in one of our messages back and forth. I probably should ask you to go to iTunes and leave me a review. Leave me a star rating and a review. I'd like to leave me I'd like you to leave me 5 stars, but whatever you think, it's no big deal. I don't care either way, be honest with me. And that would be good too. So I think that's it. I apologize if I rambled or sounded stupid today, but just before I started recording the podcast, I did watch the first 2 episodes of the new Mystery Science Theater 3000 on Netflix, and the first movie was Mac and Me. And I had never seen that movie, and I gotta be honest with you, that I'm dumber just for watching that movie. It was terrible. All right, everyone, see you next week.